You're listening to SBS News.
After a year of development, the United States has publicly released its Indo-Pacific strategy document. It came as Antony Blinken was on his way from Australia to Fiji. He says the document is the result of consultation with allies and partners across the region.
And it reflects the fundamental truth that no region on Earth will affect the lives and livelihoods of Americans more than the Indo-Pacific, which accounts for 60% of the global economy, two-thirds of all economic growth over the last 5 years. Every defining issue of the 21st century runs through this region. The climate crisis, global health, the future of technology, whether nations will be free to chart their own path or be subject to coercion by more powerful nations. Our strategy is built on collaboration. We want to develop sustained, innovative, mutually reinforcing partnerships across the Indo-Pacific.
Mr. Blinken's visit to Fiji is the first by U.S. Secretary of State to the country in 36 years. Speaking after meeting with around 18 Pacific Island leaders, Mr. Blinken confirmed the U.S. will re-establish its embassy in the Solomon Islands, in the capital Honiara, the site of deadly riots in November.
We also intend to open a U.S. embassy in the Solomon Islands, in its capital city, to deepen our cooperation with Pacific Island partners. And these steps are only the beginning. We'll continue to advance our engagement and investments in the Indo-Pacific. That includes in the Pacific Islands, because what happens here matters to the United States. We share a history. It was here, on these beaches, that Americans waged some of the hardest fought battles of the Second World War. Our people are closely tied together by large Pacific Islander diaspora in the United States.
The U.S. had closed its embassy in Honiara in 1993. Mr. Blinken says the move to reopen the embassy is part of delivering on the Indo-Pacific strategy, which would feature five elements the U.S. wants to support in the region: free and open, connected, prosperous, secure, and resilient. The U.S.'s strategy document states there's concern over a number of actions taken by China in the region, including what it called the economic coercion of Australia, the bullying of neighbours in the East and South China Seas, China's activities in its border conflict with India, and growing pressure on Taiwan. Mr. Blinken says he heard loud and clear the climate concerns of Pacific Island leaders, saying the U.S. would be pushing for access to climate financing for the Pacific Islands.
We've raised our own ambition as one of the leading emitters in the world and historically the largest emitter. It is our responsibility to do that. We're encouraging and working with other countries to do the same. But at the same time, we also have a responsibility to help countries adapt. In Glasgow, the United States announced our goal of mobilizing $150 billion in public and private climate finance by 2030. We intend for a substantial portion of that money to support climate adaptation in Fiji and throughout the Pacific region.
Fiji's acting Prime Minister, Ayes Sayed Kayum, says Pacific Island leaders will want to see follow through.
But most certainly, I mean, we welcome the U.S. Coming back into the Paris Agreement fold, and for us that's critically important. And I think the Secretary Blinken's presence here signifies that. And for us, climate finance equates to development finance. And the ability to get some of the larger countries to be able to participate in the Paris Agreement and their willingness to listen, understand, and indeed engage with Pacific Island countries is most welcome, as we would welcome any other country that is very much in the same space as us in respect of addressing issues pertaining to climate change.
Even as Mr. Blinken outlined the U.S.'s Indo-Pacific strategy, he conceded the immediate crisis of Russia's military activity on its border with Ukraine has taken up the short-term focus. Ahead of a phone call with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, Mr. Blinken says the ball is in Russia's court and the U.S. will be prepared for either diplomacy or aggression.
I'll also make clear, as I have consistently, that if Russia is genuinely interested in resolving this crisis of its own making through diplomacy and dialogue, we're prepared to do that. In fact, that's our preferred path. It's the right and responsible thing to do. But it must take place in the context of de-escalation. So far, we've only seen escalation from Moscow. This is a pivotal moment. We're prepared for whatever should happen.
Back in Melbourne, the other foreign ministers of the Quad Alliance arranged one-on-one meetings. After meeting with her Indian counterpart, Australian Foreign Minister Maurice Payne announced education and cultural links will be boosted with India through programs on scholarships, fellowships and cultural partnerships. A total of $20.5 million over 4 years will support Indian students to study at Australian universities, build links between future leaders, and facilitate cultural exchanges between creative industries in both nations. Ms. Payne says the initiatives reflect the strength of the relationship between the two countries.
The relationship between our countries is most certainly at a high point. Importantly, the Maitri program is a strong positive for the education sector in Australia, recovering from the economic impacts of COVID-19 as it is.
Indian External Affairs Minister Subramaniam Jaishankar says he's pleased the 12th Indian-Australian Foreign Minister's Framework Dialogue has been so productive.
Our discussions today, let me speak about that, I think they were very comprehensive, they were very fruitful. We really looked at a very wide range of our bilateral, regional, global partnership. And I again welcome announcements of the additional resources that the Government of Australia would be committing for further deepening of our partnership.
Meanwhile, China's Foreign Ministry spokesman, Zhao Lijian, criticised the value of the Quad Alliance, calling it a tool to contain and besiege China and maintain US dominance.
The so-called Quad Alliance between the US, Japan, India and Australia is in essence a tool to contain China. It is artificially provoking confrontation and undermining international solidarity and cooperation.
Minister Payne rejected that assessment.
And for Australia, the Quad is a very complementary part of the network of relationships that we have both regionally and internationally. And it is all about helping to positively shape our region as indeed it develops and grows. And Australia has welcomed the development and growth of China over the years, but we have always said that we will also act in protection of our national interests as any sovereign nation would.
Japan is set to host the next leaders' summit of the Quad Alliance in the first half of this year. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.